Hebrews 3, 7-19. So, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation. I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. As has just been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those whom Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies perished in the wilderness? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is taken from Matthew 11, verses 25 to 30. Rest for the weary. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The writer of Hebrews puts it like this: the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Father, we pray that your word would have that effect in our lives today. May it cut us to the heart or encourage us and change us, we pray, through Christ our Lord. Amen. I have an old friend called Vaughan Roberts. He's the vicar of St. Ebb's Church, Oxford. And he was saying how he went to preach in a university town to a Christian union. There were about 250 people there, from all church backgrounds, gathered for that meeting. He said to me the singing went on for about 35 minutes. Great vigour in the choruses and worship songs. He said it's the most extraordinary thing. They were engaged and alive when they were singing. And then they sat down, heard a Bible reading, as if they'd been turned off, and they lost all interest. So Vaughan got up to speak, and he said to the people there, do you believe in miracles? Do you? And they said, yes. He then said, do you think the Lord can do a miracle right now? And they said, yes. And they were on the edge of their seats. And then Vaughan said, we will see a miracle here today if I speak faithfully to God's word, because you'll hear the voice of the living God through the scriptures read and explained. Hope you're expecting that in your life this morning, but something you hear today from Hebrews 3 might change you, do some miraculous work in your life. Just to explain, chapter 3 of Hebrews is an exposition of an old psalm, Psalm 95. It's quoted in Hebrews 3, verse 7. That is not direct speech from God. It's a psalm which extols the virtues of God and urges people, because of his character, to praise him. And what does he say? He says this, so as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as you did in rebellion. Extraordinary. The Bible is at least 66 books by 40 different authors, but God has spoken through his word down the years. Yes, Psalm 95, it's a human psalm, but also a divine psalm, a word from the Lord. Not just a word for 1,000 years ago, but a word for today as well. God speaks through his word. Two things to say today. First, note there's a warning from the past. So look back to the past and learn. Verse 7 of chapter 3 says, the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in rebellion during the time of testing in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me, and for 40 years thought I did. That's why I was angry with that generation, said their hearts are always going astray. They've not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. The writer is saying to those Christians who were from a Jewish background that their ancestors, who should have been on a journey of weeks, had a journey of years. I don't know when you've been on journeys. I remember George and Tom, we used to leave London and drive up to the Lake District. And before we'd even got out of London, a little voice at the back of the car might say, are we nearly there yet? Perhaps you had experience. And the people of Israel were groaning. They say, are we there yet? Where are we going? Aren't we there yet? And they complained bitterly as they were on that journey. The journey was long because they disobeyed God. They failed to trust God. They left captivity in Egypt, and they forgot how terrible Egypt was. They forgot, verse 9, what the Lord had done for them. They were about to enter the promised land. And later on, looking across into Canaan, they said to themselves, we felt like grasshoppers, puny, as we thought about it. Only two people, that original, entered the promised land. One was Joshua, and one was Caleb. Because those two heard the voice of God. They listened. They realized the Lord was speaking. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as you did in rebellion. So verse 11 goes on like this. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. Only the faithful ones who heard God's word and believed it entered. Then he goes on, see to it, verse 12, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that no one of you may be harmed by sin's deceitfulness. You see, we're told, like those the writer of Hebrews writing to, not to make the same mistake. be warned about the deceitfulness of sin. People sometimes say to themselves something like this: God doesn't care how I live. God won't judge me. They perhaps say, because I'm a Christian home, I was baptized, I'm a churchgoer. Well, that's not enough, because the warning of the past is we may externally belong and yet be judged. I love that little word which comes in verse 7 and verse 15. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. That little word, if. It wasn't just what happened in the past, but also what happens in our lives in the present. This letter was written to fellow Christians who were brothers and sisters. And if you belong to Christ, your fellow believers are your brothers and sisters. And what you do now is so vital. So back in chapter 3, verse 1, the writer says, therefore, holy brothers, who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest, whom we confess. You see, apostle means one sent. Jesus was sent by the Lord God. And yes, the high priest brought the symbolic forgiveness of sins in the sacrifice. But actually, there's a great high priest, Jesus, who's completed the work of reconciliation. You see, there's both revelation, God speaking, and God bringing us back to himself, reconciliation. And yes, Jesus is greater than Moses, because he was God's spokesman and deliverer, and he was faithful. Oh yes, Moses is great, but he was simply like Winston Churchill. There's somebody much greater who's arrived, Jesus, the one who brings forgiveness and speaks the very word of God. Moses was a servant, verse 5 of chapter 3, but Jesus, the Son, owns the house of God and rules over it. What one word would you use to describe our country, indeed our world, this last year, even perhaps today? One word might be unrest, social unrest, political unrest, personal unrest. And so often there's dis-ease in our lives. We sense that things aren't as they should be. But glance ahead, there's a where we're heading. I don't want to stray into next week's sermon, but chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let's be careful that none of us fall short of it. A promise for future, which we'll hear of more next Sunday. But in the moment, today, a warning from the past. If today you hear his voice, don't close your ears, listen. Obey. It's really important. Second, a responsibility for present. We've dealt with some of this already in my first few minutes of speaking. Don't harden your hearts. But also look out for each other. Verse 12, see to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. I don't often look at the shampoos in our shower, but I noticed a few months ago there's one there which gave me a bit of surprise as I was sort of stepping out of a shower. I think it's pretty Camilla's, or wasn't mine, certainly. Mine's Head and Shoulders. It doesn't say it's Head and Shoulders, but this pot of shampoo said this: for external use only. Which slightly surprised me. I didn't want to drink shampoo. But we are to encourage one another daily. And some of us don't help each other on that internal work. We stand off as external. But we need to encourage one another daily. as well as weekly, by meeting together. We need to be straight and direct and honest with one another. Verse 15. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as you did in rebellion. Do ask, pray to God for words to say, and pray for deeds to do, but you can actually look out for one another. I wonder, are we protecting one another? In every chapter of the letter to the Hebrews, we are warned about the danger of turning away from the living God. The living word of God, which we'll come to more next week, it speaks and works and can change our lives. For each of us, every day, there's time for that miracle to happen. When I first came here almost 11 years ago, I met with somebody who's now very committed Christian here, and his life is a bit of a mess, and I said to him something about where his life was a mess. I felt it was my responsibility as a pastor, a vicar, to say that to him. And this friend of mine said this. He said, "No one else is saying this to me." I thought, goodness me. Lots of people knew his life was a mess, but no one actually had the love to say that to him. I love that story in Genesis. It's asked a question by Cain. He asks, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And friends, if you're a Christian believer, if you love the Lord, you are your brother and sister's keeper. I wonder, are we doing that as we should? Verse 15, today if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as you did in rebellion. Listen to the word of God, because the word of God is powerful. It can have two effects. It can lead to salvation or lead to judgment. And the word today comes again and again in Hebrews chapter 3 and 4. Friends, don't wait for next time, as there may not be a next time. As we go through our lives, each day is either the last day or today another opportunity to respond to the Lord. Each day matters. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. May that be true of each person in this church today. Amen.